welcome to Dive Deep. We're glad you're joining us as we discuss aspects of this past week's topic that we didn't get a chance to explore during the message. Our goal is to help you deepen your relationship with God and live out your faith in ways that change the community around you. Joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, PA.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. So we talked about mentoring this last week.
We did.
I love it. It's such a practical sermon. It's one where there's so many actionable steps.
I'll tell you what I really loved is there were a bunch of young adults that were riveted as I spoke.
Yeah.
And I'm not like saying it's because I was so great, but I'm saying it's because it was a topic that was so important to them.
Yeah.
I could see it. It was awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially within the young adult population, and I still fall in that population, we have aspirations and goals and ambitions, and we want to see them succeed, but oftentimes we don't know how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why mentoring strikes such a chord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's so much to be offered from both sides, too. And I really like how you talked about both sides of the relationship and especially how the mentee can add value to the mentor in helping them understand how valuable they are and what they have to offer.
And I think helping everybody to understand you can all be a mentor. I mean, I think that a lot of times people are fearful and think, what do I have to offer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and where if they could understand, no, we all have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And making yourself available, seeing, you know, taking a particular interest in maybe somebody who's younger or somebody who's coming along. I mean, it's all ways that we can kind of start connecting and really helping our influence to be increased by making a difference in the lives of those around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I liked how you talked about how teenagers can be a really positive influence, too, for those that are even just a couple years younger. Because practically, I mean, you know, we've all been through middle school,
correct,
most of us, I suppose, but
right,
it's been a lot longer for some as opposed to others.
And those middle school years, like,
oh, they're so tough, aren't they?
Oh, you're brain dead.
That's just the terrible problem.
Yeah, I was brain dead. I knew that.
But. Yeah, and such a tough social climate now. I wonder if it was always that way.
Yeah, I think probably.
Probably.
It's when their hormones just start racing and they don't know what to do with them and they just get crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, you know, you remember and I remember how I felt during that time and what kind of an impression it left on me.
Yeah.
But to coach someone to navigate through it now, I just feel like teenagers can be so much more effective because they were dealing with what's current for the ones that are going through it right now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why I think Meadowbrook, for example, has a mentoring program that they try to use for, you know, older with younger teens, you know, and kind of working through that process.
Yeah.
You know, really great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I'm really curious, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are wondering too. Who was the mentor that you referenced, the preacher that you referenced yesterday that you said none of us would know the name of, and you didn't tell who it was?
Well, you wouldn't.
Well, I still want to know.
His name was George Harris.
Okay.
He just passed recently.
Yeah.
He was so eloquent. He was kind of like a Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. He actually started when he was 16.
Oh, yeah.
Preaching.
Wow.
And camp meetings and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was like so gifted in how he spoke and kind of the eloquence in how he spoke. Now, I think that this is something that came up at our core group last night. Somebody said, I really appreciate that you didn't feel like one person had to have all the qualities that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like that there could be multiple people who could be a part of your mentoring experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, because nobody's perfect, and so nobody has all of the pieces that you would like.
Right.
They're all going to fall short at some point in place. And this particular person, he would have fallen short in a number of areas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his interpersonal skills were exactly the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to, like, his word choice, I would listen, and I would go, wow, he says that so amazingly. So, you know, I think, you know, I also, you know, when I started trying to figure out who I was as a pastor, you know, I listened to people like John Maxwell because he's a Wesleyan pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And was actually at Skyline Wesleyan in California when I was kind of watching his life. He spoke at a number of different things. There were just a number of people like that that were kind of like heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. And I would look at them and I would think, wow, you know, I can never be like that. Mm-hmm. And so then really, and that was kind of the discovery process that I needed to be the best me that I could possibly be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Not anybody else.
Right. Yeah. And I like that because I've heard it said in a number of different venues that, you know, it's good to build up your weaknesses and to know what they are and to work on them. But really, God's gifted us with strengths. And if we focus on using those, we can be so much more effective. And I'm pretty sure you've said that at one point, you know, again, I've heard it all over. So, you know, to focus on what positive characteristics you want to place in your life and then look at those outside resources and individuals that characterize that.
And the really great thing about like picking mentors, even if they don't know it.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're looking and focusing on a particular aspect in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, whatever we focus on, we're drawn to. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that becomes a positive image that we have in front of us that draws us. And as we're looking at that, we find it reproducing in us. Mm-hmm. And so that's the really good news. You know, because if you're going to be bitter and angry and resentful about somebody in your life, mm-hmm. guess what you're going to produce inside of you?
Sure enough, yeah.
And so, you know, that's why if you can kind of turn that around and say, no, I want to have a focus on somebody positive in my life, somebody who I admire those characteristics of their lives, mm-hmm. that's what I want in mine.
Right.
And then you focus on that because you're looking at that more intently, more directly. And then it just subconsciously even starts to reproduce inside of you because mm-hmm. you start seeing those kinds of things.
Yeah. And I think social media can be a great way to keep those individuals and the way they talk and the things they think about in front of you. You know, Facebook, nah, okay. But Instagram, mm-hmm. I've been finding to be very motivational for keeping my mind and thought processes on track because I follow only the people that I want to hear from.
Sure.
And it really is powerful because these are, you know, the heroes of our faith, or these are people in the workforce and in businesses and organizations that are Christians that are making such a positive impact with the quality of their work and the way that they're leading, whether it's directly, let's say, a ministry or not. Mm-hmm. They're just characterizing in real life the things I want to be.
Yeah, I think there's also an importance of understanding that mentoring can be like one of two aspects. It can be totally unintentional mm-hmm. or very intentional.
Right.
You know, there's unintentional mentors in my life who have impacted me mm-hmm. and they may not even know it, but I've watched things in their lives. I've seen how they handled things. And I thought, I want to do it like that. That's a really great way. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes more of my focus. And then there are those who I intentionally, you know, ask for their time. Could mm-hmm. I ask you some questions? You know, I've had mentors in probably every area of my life where I've, you know, tried to grow. I have a lot of weak areas and a lot of things that I don't know how to do that or who I should talk to about that. So I try to find people in my world that I can talk to that can help me in that area.
Yeah.
When I started Meadowbrook, mm-hmm. That was like, I'd never started a school before.
What?
and so it was like, okay, so how are you going to do this? Well, I thought, well, there's other people who've been a part of this process. I need to find those and start asking them questions. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody would probably know Ted Cleater, but he was a person who was in charge of Christian schools in the state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many times I called Ted.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd say, hey, Ted, I have another question for you. Well, mm-hmm. when you're doing this, how would you do this? And he would be really gracious. He'd give me some time just to be able to ask those. So almost everything that I've done along those pathways, there have been people in my world that I would say are my go-tos. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't always a formal setting. Sometimes it was, you know, just a conversation or a phone call or whatever. But I depended on hearing more voices than my own.
Mm-hmm.
Voices who had already been there. Right. Voices who knew. Voices I trusted, mm-hmm. I believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds that I would go, you know, and it goes from everything from, you know, somebody I know who's really great at finances.
Yeah.
And I would go and ask them those questions, and somebody who would be really knowledgeable about mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go and I would ask those questions. You know, just different people that I would have in my life who would help maybe the weak areas or as we call growth areas.
Right, yeah.
But I'll just call them weak because I don't think I really want to grow in them. but I do depend on those people. So there's all kinds of mentors, I think.
Yeah.
And then even for those spiritual kinds of things, certain mentors have certain kinds of information and, you know, certain aspects. I really look up to some people who parent incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking, you know, as my kids were coming through the stages, thinking, boy, I really want to be a great parent. So I should talk to some people I think are great parents.
Right.
And so I'd call them and I would say, hey, I have some questions for you. Your kids are really great kids. Tell me, like, what do you think the secret was?
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to one man and he said, it was an accident. We have no idea how it happened. Somehow I don't believe that.
Right, yeah.
Because they were great kids.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like in whatever stage we're in and maybe age, there's all kinds of different mentors that could be a part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hesitate to call those people. Don't hesitate to reach out to them. Ask them, you know, hey, could I have a few minutes? I just really want to ask some questions because I've noticed that, like, you guys do such an incredible job with your kids. And that's such a compliment.
Right.
And people are like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you gain a wealth of information when you start cross-referencing all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of have one final topic area that I want to cover. You'd use the Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, right?
Sure.
And as I was thinking about that during the sermon yesterday, the thought was, well, you have to grind the iron pretty hard against each other in order to sharpen. And that's, you know, there's a lot of friction. It produces heat. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Is that a metaphor for a mentoring relationship? Has it been painful at times to go through and hear what the mentor had to say or to put it into practice? Does that play out in relationships with a mentor?
Boy, it sure does in friendship. I think that if somebody's really a very honest friend of yours, it's probably going to be painful at points and times and places. Mentor feels like it's more voluntary.
Okay.
So I'm kind of putting myself in that place voluntarily so somebody can help me understand. I mean, unless there's a lot of pride.
Sure.
That's resistant.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to hear what they have to say.
Uh-huh.
But I think most times, like the people I pick for a mentor, mentee-mentor relationship, I greatly respect them. And if they told me something that was very humbling, I would probably just say,
you were ready for it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be good. Because I think there's both sides of it. There's both parts. Mm-hmm. And the more you develop in a relationship with a mentor, I think if they're going to be honest with you, they'll help you to see some painful parts of you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
And thanks for hanging out with us on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast wherever you might be listening. Join us next Monday as we continue the conversation in our series, Preparing for the Journey. And if you missed past episodes, check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.